Welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. Today's episode features a takeover of our popular weekly live Q&A session on Instagram called Ask a Flower Farmer. This episode was guest hosted by Val Shermer of Three Toads Farm. Val is a flower farmer based in the Lexington, Kentucky area, and also the current president of the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, the ASCFG. She's one of our course instructors here at the Gardener's Workshop as well. In this Q&A, Val answered questions about forcing bulbs to have ready for winter and spring holidays, both as cut flowers and in potted arrangements. She offers lots of great tips, so I hope you enjoy.
First, a word about the Field and Garden Podcast. The Field and Garden Podcast is a part of the Gardener's Workshop. The Gardener's Workshop has been telling the stories and how-tos of growing, selling, and helping others to pursue their flower-growing dreams for over 25 years. What began as one gardening enthusiast sharing her passion has grown into so much more. Over at thegardenersworkshop.com, find in print, with our blogs and books, and through our podcasts and videos and courses, and we have a shop full of the same tools, seeds, and supplies that you hear mentioned on our podcast. You can connect with all of these resources over at thegardenersworkshop.com. I hope you'll take some time to explore all we have for you. Welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Val Shermer, and I'm the founder of Three Toads Farm, which is located just outside of Lexington, Kentucky, and we are in Zone 6B. We've been specialty cut flower growers since 1997, and we started out growing oriental lilies for the Lexington Farmers Market. And as many of you probably know, oriental lilies are bulbs. And the bigger the bulb, the bigger the show. I love forcing bulbs, and I especially love doing them for the holidays and then also for spring. I have an online course with Lisa that's called Forcing Glorious Blooms for the Holidays and Beyond, and it's 3.5 hours of video of me showing, talking you through everything that I do with a lot of resource stuff as part of the course too. So, but today we have about 30 minutes for me to try to answer any questions that you throw at me about forcing bulbs. And the kind of forcing I do is for tabletop bulb gardens. Now, my class is about forcing amaryllis and paper whites. So these are some amaryllis that came back this year that were from last year, and I like to show people how to save them to rebloom year after year, and they also make tremendous cut flowers. So these are some we just happen to have in the house. So I like surrounding myself with flowers. Okay, let's see. We have a question. Okay, my favorite variety. That is really kind of tough, because if you're talking about amaryllis, my favorite variety is going to be big doubles. Now this one that I have right here, this is one called White Amadeus. Now, you know, I gotta love that, because look at the size of this bloom. Offer for sale is one of my favorites. All right, now I've got another question. Loved your class. My amaryllis flowered for the second year, but they put out beautiful leaves before the stems. Is that normal? You know, I always say they're girls, they do what they want to do. They will grow leaves before they put out stems, or they'll do it after. But you never ever want to cut off any leaf that they send out. That's because that's how it replenishes the bulb, so it gets bigger and bigger year after year. I kind of like it when they actually do leaves while they're doing the flowers. So that's like this one is doing. And this is a second year, this big girl. And this is Double King, also one of my very favorites, but it's sending up leaves too. But I think that leaves add a lot of interest to it. So let's see, have I ever forced gladiolus bulbs? No, I haven't, I'm sorry. I force hardy spring bulbs And then I also force the amaryllis and paper whites. And by hardy spring bulbs, I mean the daffodils, the tulips, the hyacinths, and the grape hyacinths are normally the ones that I do. Fields of Grace Flower Farm. How do you keep them from falling over? They will stretch to the light. And I assume that you're talking about amaryllis, like these big guys over here. I like to have them a little bit shorter. So what I do is I grow them under light and I keep the conditions pretty cool. And so if it's cool, they're not going to shoot up and get great big and tall. If it's warmer, they will tend to be taller. So how do I keep them from falling over? You can, I really don't keep them from falling over, because if they happen to, then I cut it off right at the base of, right above the base of the bulb, and I put it in a vase with magnolia branches and things like that. I really, really like how that looks. Alrighty, so I'll tell you what, I get great big bulbs, like I mentioned. They're 36, 38 centimeters, and only 2% of all the amaryllis in the world are going to be that size, which makes me even want them even more. But when you get great big bulbs, you will get bigger blooms, you're gonna get more blooms, and so it's just a lot better in the long run. Oops, here's two more questions, wait. Okay, do I force in water or soil? I start everything in soil. And the reason I do that is because I can control when I want to take it out of the container I'm forcing it in and potted up into a bulb garden. So paper whites and spring bulbs always, always get planted in soil in these super jumbo deep six packs. And the reason I am very particular about these is because you're gonna need lots of room for the roots. And I'll show you a little bit more about that. And then the amaryllis that I start, and these are the Peruvian ones that are really itching to start growing, I pot them up into these 6-inch plastic pots. I get them from Greenhouse Megastore. You don't have to be a commercial grower to get them there. You can get, you know, 10 at a time, or else you can buy them by the case, which of course I do, because I have about 1,200 amaryllis, which I just ordered. So if you're a commercial grower, get your order in now. If you are a home gardener, you have a lot more time. Okay, so if you force amaryllis or paper whites in water, it's going to completely deplete the bulb. And so in amaryllis case, then you're not going to be able to save the bulb to rebloom next year. You're just going to toss it away. These are bulbs that are 2 or 3 years old, and you can see they are still great big. Are some varieties shorter than others? I think that some of them are shorter than others. I like the Nymph series of amaryllis because I believe that they are shorter. Some of them, 1 year will be shorter, and the next year they'll be taller. So the main thing is to, while you're forcing them, keep them under lights. So we do them in our basement under just fluorescent lights, and I keep the lights low on them, and that tends to keep them shorter as well. Now, I also mentioned the spring bulbs, and so these are some of the spring bulbs that I force. I love fragrance. This is a narcissus or daffodil that's called geranium. And again, I force them in these deep six packs. And here's the reason why. Let me pull this out. It's because you can pull them out. Oops. Look at this. And you can pot them up into any container that you want. You can choose the stage of bud or bloom that they're in, and you can choose which ones to use. And I love to pot them up into really cool containers, like these concrete urns. I use a lot of white. I think this is very, very modern. And then some of my workhorses are this white one. And if you're a commercial grower, I get all these from Accent Decor. And I love this metal urn, the Fable metal urn. I use a lot of them. And I also ship paper whites that are dormant, ready to start growing in this container. now to see if there are more. Okay, do you force hyacinths in soil or water? I force hyacinths 100% of the time in soil. I 100% force them in the six packs. And I pot them up in November, right after our, we have a winter flower school here at the farm. That is everything about forcing bulbs. And as soon as we're done with that, we start potting these up. And I get about 6,000 spring bulbs. And I love doing hyacinths this way. Now, some people like hyacinths in forcing vases, which is really beautiful. But you could still grow hyacinths, you know, in the six packs and then just wash off all the soil and put them right there in the vase for anybody that wants those. How do you plan the days out for forcing? For example, planning for blooms for an Easter or Mother's Day planter for the table. That's a very good question. We pot up all of our spring bulbs in November. And they stay in the cooler. At first, I keep them at like 45 to mimic fall, and then they go down to 39 or 40 to mimic winter growing conditions. So we do workshops starting in February, and so I'll bring out the first round of bulbs like these. These have not been out of the cooler yet, so they're going to come out kind of pale green, and within a week they look like this, so don't worry about that. And then I'll keep them here in the cool greenhouse as they green up and they start to bud, get great big buds, and then I put them back in the cooler. And that's how I plan for Easter or for our workshops. I don't think a Mother's Day planter is really going to be pushing it. So you could give that a try, but you would need to put all your bulbs in the cooler and leave them there for at least like 3 or 4 months. And then I would bring them out, let them green up, bud up, put them back in the cooler, and you can hold them there for weeks. What do I add to my water to prolong flowers, and how long do they last in water after cut? I am a post-harvest fan, and so I always add a post-harvest solution like, you know, Flora Life to a vase, except I have learned that, like tulips, because I've been trialing the winter-grown indoor tulips, which have been fabulous, and they don't need any post-harvest solution at all. They just go into regular water. So I add Flora Life to prolong flowers, and how long do they last in the water after cut? Amaryllis, when they're cut, last just as long in a vase as they do on the bulb. So these will last, well, this one's been here for over a week, probably more like 10 days. So they'll last a very long time, but just keep them out of the sun. Do I order pre-chilled bulbs for my workshops for spring forcing? I love what you do with spring bulbs. Oh, thank you so much, Kansas Girl Flowers. I do not order pre-chilled bulbs for my workshops for spring forcing. That's because I'm giving them the appropriate amount of chilling period so that I can bring them out and use them in the workshops. And like I said, our workshops start in February. So one of the secrets, and I'm going to hold something up here. This is what I put together, and it shows all of the spring bulbs that we did this year. And so here's the hyacinths. I hope you can see it because I can only see the questions. And here's the grape hyacinths. Look, I've got three different varieties of white grape hyacinths because I love them so much. This is how I choose bulbs to use in, you know, our workshops and to use in our tabletop bulb gardens. I pick bulbs that would naturally be blooming in April, mid-April, or April into May. And that's because they need about the same amount of chilling time. So I don't want to get like something like a crocus that needs, you know, they're always the first things to bloom outside. And so I wouldn't want to try forcing crocuses to go with some of the tulips or some of the things that would be blooming in May, because they wouldn't need the same amount of chilling time, if that makes sense. So I select things that are early that bloom in April and mid-April and into April and May. I do have one sailboat, one narcissus that is actually a May bloomer, but I have found that it forces in about the same amount of time as all of my other ones. Let's see. I did order pre-chilled bulbs on the for the forced cutting tulips, and I got the 5C bulbs from the Tulip Workshop. If you've taken their workshop, you can get their bulbs, and they had already been through their chilling time, so I only needed to put them in the cooler for 3 weeks to get them rooted, and then they went into our scary old house basement at 64 degrees, start blooming. This is from Heartbreak Flower Farm. Took your class and loved it, thank you. When you take out your spring bulbs to green up, what is the ideal temperature and light conditions for them? Excellent question. And think about what they would be experiencing as they started coming up in the spring. Cool temperatures, and they would really like some bright light. And so this is my 20 by 20 old glass and aluminum greenhouse, which is where I bring them into. I like them to be cool, and so cool with lots of bright light. So I bring them in here, and I keep the temperature low. We're heated by propane, but I'll let it go down to 40. And so I don't want them being too warm too soon, because if it's warm, they will shoot up and you'll have some spindly stems, and they won't, you know, they won't be as good as you want them to be. So the ideal temperature is cool spring temperatures. Just think of it that way. So let it go down to 40 at night, and then during the day, I don't want it over 70 in here. If it is, it's, you know, I've got fans, which I have turned off now, but to try to keep them cooler. So cool, bright light. And this one, question, I was given some chilled tulips. I'd like to force them. Should I pre-chill? It sounds like they have already been chilled. And by chilled tulips, you might have gotten some that are called 5C, which 5C is 5 degrees centigrade equals 41 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what they have been chilled at to go through their entire chilling cycle, which is like 14, 17 weeks. If you'd like to force them, here's what I recommend that you do. Pot them up into crates. You can do it in bulb crates with a little bit of soil on the bottom, because they're not going to form a whole lot of roots. And then cover up those tulip bulbs. Put them where it's cool and you can root them. And the reason you want to root them is because good roots will help the tulip uptake water and nutrients, and you're going to have a better flower. So if yours have already gone through all of their chilling, I would still pop them up. Let them send down roots for a good 2 to 3 weeks. And so, like I said, I have just ordered my amaryllis. And again, I keep them. This is how I organize stuff. This is how many I've ordered, what I get. I get Dutch amaryllis, and I also get Peruvian amaryllis. And the difference is that Peruvian are Southern Hemisphere amaryllis. And so in the Southern Hemisphere, when it's winter here, it's summer there. And this is why this is important. An amaryllis left on its own devices, growing where it would be perennial, which would be someplace that's very warm, like Florida or Texas, would be blooming in the summertime. And so the Peruvian amaryllis that I get in October already think that it's summer. So they are very, very easy to get the bloom for your holiday blooms. And so as soon as I get in those Peruvian amaryllis, I pot them up into the 6-inch pot. And by getting the great big bulbs, it's going to, you know, they fill up a big chunk of this pot. You only plant half of the bulb into the soil. See, like this one. They always want at least half of their bulb out of the soil. I don't know why, but they do. And I can put these under some warmth, meaning about 70 degrees, and under lights, and I can get them in great big bud for the holidays. And I like them to be in big bud, then I put them in the cooler to hold them, and then I pull them out of these pots, and I create great big bulb gardens. I don't have all those things, but like in this container, I would put three bulbs in here, and then I always surround it with moss too. So Peruvian bulbs are the ones that you can force for the holidays. Now the reason I get Dutch amaryllis is because Holland, you know, is Northern Hemisphere. They're in the same, you know, when it's winter in the U.S., it's going to be winter in Holland too. So those bulbs are going to take a lot longer to force into bloom. But I use those as, I put them into forcing kits, which we create out of clay rose pots, 6.5 inches. And then I put a coffee filter in the bottom of that pot that's about 8 inches tall. Coffee filter, totally dry Pro-Mix. And I use Pro-Mix for my, for everything, everything. Put totally dry potting soil in there. Put the dormant bulb in there. And then I surround it with Spanish moss. And then I take the clay saucer and put that over the top of it. So, and then I put rubber bands on it and then satin ribbons, and I wrap that up. And that is the perfect Christmas gift for anybody that loves amaryllis. If you wanted to see what some of these bulb gardens look like, please take a look at my Instagram, because you'll see them all over it. And it's Val Shermer or Three Toads Farm. And I also post on Facebook under Valerie Shermer, and then we also have Three Toads Farm. If you want to take a look at the amaryllis and everything that we sold this past year, just go to our online shop, which is threetoadsfarm-shop. And they're all sold out, but you'd be able to see what I offered and, you know, how much, you know, what I'm getting for them. If you are a commercial grower and you want to do this too, I would say in order to get the premium prices for your products, you're going to need premium bulbs. So don't get something that's going to be 28, 30 centimeters. Here's another question. Now, on what colors to get for the Peruvian amaryllis, the ones that you want in bloom, I get the amaryllis that are holiday colors. Wait, these are Dutch, sorry. Because people really like the reds. They like the whites. They like bright. You know, they like the typical kind of holiday colors. So these are the ones that I've ordered so far for this year. And the ones I'm not ordering. And then I've still got part of my order I still am going to place. But I like double amaryllis. I like double amaryllis. And if I get a single amaryllis, it's got to be something really spectacular. But I tend to get red ones. I get deep red ones. I also get some fuchsia ones, and which is a bolero, which is beautiful. And then I also get red and white. And then for the Dutch amaryllis, because a lot of those are going to be blooming after the holidays, I will get ones that are like these beautiful colors like this. And I order my amaryllis through ADR, which is the order I've already placed. And I'm also going back and I'm going to order some through Ball. And I'm doing that because Ball is trying really hard to correct some of the earlier issues that they had with amaryllis and get them to everybody on time, because I'm very specific about when I want to get these, but they have more varieties than ADR has. So my Dutch amaryllis, they're going to ship to me the week of October 16th. And my Peruvian amaryllis will ship to me the week of October 9th. Wait, can you say where you ordered the metal container again? Yes, this one right here. This is the Fable Urn, and I get them from Accent Decor. I get all of my containers through Accent Decor. So if you're a commercial grower, you can get them from there. If you are a home gardener, I'm sorry, you can't. But I would encourage you to go and use some of maybe the old containers that you might have at home, like, say, old punch bowls, because they are beautiful to pot up all the amaryllis in. And somebody asked me about the wind chime. Did I answer that? Yes, it is a big, long wind chime. I've got one in here, and then there's one also outside. I love that. Thank you for your time. I hope that you will join me in forcing glorious blooms for the holidays and beyond. I'll see you guys. Oh, maybe I'll see you in a workshop. Come on to the workshops. You can also go on threetoadsfarm-shop and sign up for our workshops. So about any recommendations on best books or courses for forcing bulbs? Well, my course is the best. And you can come in person, and we always have a great mix of home gardeners and commercial growers that come to the farm, because you get to do it all hands-on. You get to choose from all my bulbs, and I show you how to do it. But this is a great book. This is Smith & Hawkins. It is out of print, and it's called Forcing. Go on and Google it, and you might be able to get an old copy. I just got a copy at one of my favorite antique stores. So it is fabulous. It is awesome. It's easy to understand. It's forcing everything, and it's well worth the $20 you'll spend. Alrighty, I'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, welcome back. Since Val made a lot of visual references in this Q&A, I want to let you know that we do have the original video available on both our Instagram and our YouTube accounts, and I'll put a link to those in the show notes. I've also included links for some of the other things she mentioned, including a link to the page on our website where you can check out Val's on-demand mini workshop called Forcing Glorious Blooms for the Holidays and Beyond. If you're interested in attending an Ask a Flower Farmer Q&A live, you'll find them weekly on our Instagram account each Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. These sessions are normally hosted by Lisa Mason Ziegler, but we do also have guest takeovers such as this one periodically. So I encourage you to check it out. If you like what you're hearing here on the Field and Garden podcast, we'd love it if you'd tell a friend about us and leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop, and I hope you have a great day.